I've seen firsthand how a single misconfigured role binding can bring down an entire Kubernetes cluster. And it's not just theoretical. We had a production incident last quarter where a rogue service account was able to escalate privileges and delete entire namespaces, all because we hadn't properly implemented RBAC least privilege design patterns, and our pod security standards enforcement was lacking, which made it difficult to detect and respond to the issue in a timely manner. What makes that even harder is when you're dealing with a large multi-tenant cluster, where you have multiple teams and applications running on the same infrastructure, and you need to balance the need for isolation and security with the need for shared resources and collaboration. We actually ran into this issue when we were trying to implement network policy segmentation with Calico, and we realized that our existing RBAC setup wasn't robust enough to handle the complexity of our cluster. I'd push back on the notion that a single solution can solve all of these problems. In our experience, it's about layering multiple controls, like admission controllers and webhooks, to enforce policy and prevent these kinds of incidents.
I'd say that's a classic example of how not having a solid understanding of Kubernetes security can lead to major issues down the line. And it's not just about the technical implementation, but also about the organizational and process changes that need to happen to support a secure multi-tenant cluster. We've seen time and time again that teams will prioritize getting their application up and running over implementing proper security controls. And then they're left scrambling when something goes wrong. The thing most teams miss about RBAC is that it's not just about assigning roles to users or service accounts, but also about implementing proper namespace isolation strategies and ensuring that etcd, encryption at rest, is properly configured, which is why we always recommend running node hardening with CIS Kubernetes Benchmark to ensure that the underlying nodes are secure. What's even more critical is having a solid audit logging and policy enforcement strategy in place, so you can detect and respond to incidents in real time.
What makes that even harder is when you're dealing with a large distributed cluster where you have multiple nodes and etcd instances, and you need to ensure that all of them are properly configured and secured, which is why we've started using tools like KubeWarden to enforce policy at the cluster level and to ensure that all of our nodes are compliant with the CIS Kubernetes benchmark. We've also been exploring the use of tools like Falco to detect and respond to runtime security incidents and to ensure that our cluster is properly configured to prevent attacks. I'd push back on the notion that a single tool can solve all of these problems. In our experience, it's about layering multiple controls, like network policy segmentation with Cilium to enforce isolation and security at the network level. We've also been working on implementing proper admission controllers and webhooks to enforce policy and prevent misconfigured resources from being created, which is why we're using tools like Gatekeeper to enforce policy at the cluster level.
I'd say that's a great example of how a layered security approach can help prevent incidents like the one you mentioned earlier. And it's not just about the technical implementation, but also about the organizational and process changes that need to happen to support a secure multi-tenant cluster. We've seen time and time again that teams will prioritize getting their application up and running over implementing proper security controls, and then they're left scrambling when something goes wrong. The thing most teams miss about Kubernetes security is that it's not just about the technical controls, but also about the people and process changes that need to happen to support a secure cluster. Which is why we always recommend having a solid audit logging and policy enforcement strategy in place so you can detect and respond to incidents in real time. We've also been working on implementing proper RBAC least privilege design patterns and ensuring that all of our service accounts and users have the minimum privileges necessary to perform their tasks, which is why we're using tools like kubectl to manage our RBAC setup.
We actually ran into an issue last year where one of our service accounts had been granted excessive privileges, and it ended up causing a major security incident, which is why we've started using Tools like Kiali to visualize our RBSC setup and ensure that all of our service accounts and users have the minimum privileges necessary to perform their tasks. We've also been working on implementing proper pod security standards enforcement and ensuring that all of our pods are running with the minimum privileges necessary to perform their tasks, which is why we're using tools like pod security policies to enforce policy at the pod. What makes that even harder is when you're dealing with a large distributed cluster where you have multiple nodes and etcd instances, and you need to ensure that all of them are properly configured and secured, which is why we've started using tools like etcd-addm to manage our etcd setup and ensure that all of our nodes are compliant with the CIS Kubernetes benchmark.
I push back on the notion that a single tool can solve all of these problems. In our experience, it's about layering multiple controls, like network policy segmentation with Calico, to enforce isolation and security at the network level, and ensuring that all of our nodes are properly configured and secured, which is why we're using tools like CIS Kubernetes Benchmark to ensure that our nodes are secure. We've also been working on implementing proper admission controllers and webhooks to enforce policy and prevent misconfigured resources from being created, which is why we're using tools like Gatekeeper to enforce policy at the cluster level. We've also been exploring the use of tools like Kubeorden to enforce policy at the cluster level and to ensure that all of our nodes are compliant with the CIS Kubernetes benchmark, which is why we're using tools like Kubeteal to manage our RBA setup and ensure that all of our service accounts and users have the minimum privileges necessary to perform their tasks. What's even more critical is having a solid audit logging and policy enforcement strategy in place so you can detect and respond to incidents in real time.
Implementing a robust audit logging strategy is crucial, which is why we're utilizing tools like Falco to detect anomalous activity at the container and kernel level, and integrating it with our existing logging pipeline to ensure that all security-related events are properly captured and analyzed. We are also exploring the use of tools like Audit to RBAC to automate the process of generating RBAC policies based on audit logs, which helps to reduce the administrative burden of managing complex permission setups. Additionally, we're leveraging the Kubernetes audit logs to monitor and analyze all API requests, which provides valuable insights into cluster activity and helps to identify potential security threats. For instance, we've configured Falco to detect suspicious network activity, such as unexpected outgoing connections to unknown destinations, and to generate alerts when such activity is detected.
One of the real-world examples that comes to mind is a recent incident where we detected a suspicious container running in one of our production clusters, which was attempting to communicate with an unknown external service. Thanks to our audit logging setup, we were able to quickly identify the source of the issue and take corrective action to prevent any further unauthorized activity. We've also been working on implementing enterprise patterns for Kubernetes deployments, such as using infrastructure as code tools like Terraform to manage our cluster configurations and ensure consistency across all environments. Furthermore, we're utilizing tools like Customize to manage and template our Kubernetes deployments, which helps to reduce configuration drift and ensures that all applications are properly configured and secured. For example, we've created a set of reusable customized templates that define the standard configuration for all of our production deployments, including settings for security, monitoring, and logging.
Another critical aspect of enterprise Kubernetes deployments is ensuring proper integration with existing security tools and systems, such as identity and access management platforms, which is why we're using tools like Dex to provide a unified identity management solution for our Kubernetes clusters. We're also integrating our Kubernetes setup with our existing SEM systems to provide real-time monitoring and threat detection, which helps to identify potential security threats and respond to incidents more effectively. Moreover, we're exploring the use of advanced security features like network policies to control and restrict network traffic between pods and services, which provides an additional layer of security. and helps to prevent lateral movement in case of a compromise. For instance, we've implemented a set of network policies that restrict incoming traffic to only allow connections from trusted sources and to block any outgoing traffic that doesn't comply with our security policies.
When it comes to war stories, one specific example that comes to mind is our experience with configuring Gatekeeper to enforce policy at the cluster level, which required significant tweaking and customization to get it working as desired. We had to write custom validation webhooks to enforce specific policies, such as ensuring that all pods have the required security labels and annotations. We've also been working on implementing advanced use cases for Kubernetes, such as using it as a platform for big data and analytics workloads, which requires significant customization and optimization of the underlying infrastructure. For example, we've created a set of custom Kubernetes operators to manage and deploy complex data processing pipelines, which provides a scalable and efficient way to process large data sets. Furthermore, we're exploring the use of Kubernetes to deploy and manage machine learning workloads, which requires specialized tooling and configurations to support the unique requirements of the workloads.
Speaking of security considerations, one of the key challenges we've faced is ensuring that our Kubernetes clusters are properly hardened and secured, which is why we're using tools like KubeHunt to identify and remediate potential security vulnerabilities in our cluster configurations. We're also leveraging the CIS Kubernetes benchmark to ensure that our clusters are properly configured and secured, which provides a comprehensive set of guidelines and recommendations for securing Kubernetes environments. Moreover, we're exploring the use of advanced security features like pod security policies to control and restrict the behavior of pods and containers, which provides an additional layer of security and helps to prevent privilege escalation attacks. For instance, we've implemented a set of pod security policies that restrict the use of privileged containers and require all pods to run with minimal privileges, which helps to reduce the attack surface and prevent unauthorized access to sensitive resources.
Another critical aspect of enterprise Kubernetes security is ensuring proper management and rotation of secrets and credentials, which is why we're using tools like HashiCorp's Vault to manage and secure sensitive data. We're also integrating our Kubernetes setup with our existing key management systems to provide a unified and secure way to manage and rotate credentials, which helps to reduce the risk of credential compromise and unauthorized access. Furthermore, we're exploring the use of advanced security features like Kubernetes external secrets to manage and secure sensitive data, such as API keys and certificates, which provides a scalable an efficient way to manage and rotate secrets across multiple clusters and environments. For example, we've created a set of custom Kubernetes operators to manage and deploy sensitive data, such as encryption keys and certificates, which provides a secure and automated way to manage and rotate sensitive data.
We're also leveraging Kubernetes' built-in RBAC capabilities to implement fine-grained access control and role bindings, which enables us to define and enforce specific permissions and access levels for different users and groups across our clusters. And we're using tools like KubeChile and KubeBAPServer to manage and audit these permissions, which provides a robust and scalable way to manage access control. For instance, we've implemented a custom RBACS policy to restrict access to sensitive resources, such as persistent volumes and config maps, which contain sensitive data like database credentials and API keys. Additionally, we're integrating our Kubernetes setup with our existing identity and access management systems like Active Directory and LDAP to provide a unified and secure way to manage user identities and access levels.
One of the real-world examples that comes to mind is our recent deployment of a multi-tenant Kubernetes cluster for a large financial services company, where we had to implement strict access controls and segregation of duties to meet regulatory requirements. And we used a combination of Kubernetes network policies and Calico to enforce network isolation and segmentation between different tenants and applications. We also use tools like Prometheus and Grafana to monitor and audit the cluster's performance and security posture, which provided real-time visibility into the cluster's health and security status. Furthermore, we implemented a custom monitoring and alerting system using tools like Alert Manager and PagerDuty to notify our operations team of any security incidents or performance issues.
Another war story that's relevant here is our experience with concurring and managing Kubernetes pod security policies, which provide a way to enforce specific security requirements and standards. For pods and containers, such as restricting the use of privileged containers and enforcing the use of approved base images, we used a combination of Kubernetes built-in PSP capabilities and custom admission controllers to implement these policies, which provided a robust and scalable way to enforce security standards across our clusters. For example, we created a custom PSP to restrict the use of privileged containers and enforce the use of approved base images, which reduced the risk of unauthorized access and privilege escalation.
In terms of enterprise patterns, we're seeing a lot of interest in using Kubernetes as a platform for deploying and managing cloud-native applications, and we're working with several large enterprises. To implement Kubernetes-based platforms for building and deploying microservices-based applications, we're using tools like Istio and Linkerd to provide service mesh capabilities, such as traffic management and security. And we're integrating these platforms with existing DevOps tools and pipelines. We're using such as Jenkins and GitLab CI/CD to provide a seamless and automated way to build, deploy, and manage cloud-native applications. Additionally, we're using Kubernetes built-in support for stateful sets and daemon sets to deploy and manage stateful applications such as databases and messaging queues.
We're also exploring advanced use cases for Kubernetes, such as using it as a platform for machine learning and AI workloads. And we're working with several companies to implement Kubernetes-based platforms for building and deploying machine learning models, using tools like TensorFlow and PyTorch, and integrating these platforms with existing data science tools and pipelines, such as Jupyter Notebooks and Apache Spark. We're using Kubernetes built-in support for GPU acceleration and distributed computing to provide a scalable and high-performance platform for machine learning workloads. And we're implementing custom monitoring and logging systems using tools like ELK and Splunk to provide real-time visibility into the platform's performance and security status.
In terms of integration points, we're seeing a lot of interest in integrating Kubernetes with existing IT systems and tools, such as IT service management platforms and configuration management, databases, and we're working with several companies to implement integrations between Kubernetes and these systems using tools like APIs and webhooks, and implementing custom integration points using tools like Zapier and MuleSoft. We're also integrating Kubernetes with existing security systems and tools, such as intrusion detection systems and security information and event management systems, to provide a unified and security systems. This is .ir way to manage and monitor security posture.
Security considerations are also a top priority for us, and we're working with several companies to implement robust security controls and procedures for their Kubernetes environments, using tools like Kubernetes built-in network policies and secret management capabilities, and implementing custom security controls using tools like OPA and Gatekeeper. We're also providing training and support for Kubernetes security best practices, such as implementing least privilege access and regularly updating and patching Kubernetes components. And we're working with several companies to implement custom security monitoring and incident response plans using tools like Splunk and PagerDuty.
We're also exploring the use of Kubernetes built-in support for audit logging and monitoring to provide real-time visibility into security-related events and activities, and we're implementing custom audit logging and monitoring systems using tools like ELK and Splunk to provide a scalable and high-performance platform for security monitoring and incident response. Additionally, we're working with several companies to implement compliance and governance frameworks for their Kubernetes environments, using tools like Kubernetes Environments, using tools like Kubernetes built-in support for regulatory compliance and custom compliance frameworks, and implementing custom compliance and governance controls using tools like OPA and Gatekeeper.
One of the key challenges we're seeing is the lack of standardization and consistency across different Kubernetes environments and deployments. And we're working with several companies to implement standardized and consistent Kubernetes deployment models and patterns using tools like Terraform and Ansible, and implementing custom deployment models using tools like CloudFormation and Azure Resource Manager. We're also providing training and support for Kubernetes deployment best practices, such as implementing continuous integration and delivery pipelines, and regularly updating and patching Kubernetes components.
We're also exploring the use of Kubernetes built-in support for federated clusters and multi-cluster management to provide a scalable and high-performance platform for managing multiple Kubernetes clusters and environments, and we're implementing custom federated cluster and multi-cluster management systems using tools like KubeFed and Cluster APA. Additionally, we're working with several companies to implement custom monitoring and logging systems for their Kubernetes environments, using tools like Prometheus and Grafana, and implementing custom monitoring and logging controls using tools like Alert Manager and PagerDuty.
In terms of real-world examples, we're seeing a lot of interest in using Kubernetes for deploying and managing containerized applications in production environments. And we're working with several companies to implement Kubernetes-based platforms for building and deploying containerized applications using tools like Docker and RKT, and integrating these platforms with existing DevOps tools and pipelines such as Jenkins and GitLab CI/CD. We're also implementing custom deployment models using tools like CloudFormation and Azure Resource Manager, and providing training and support for Kubernetes deployment best practices, such as implementing continuous integration and delivery pipelines, and regularly updating and patching Kubernetes components.
We're also exploring advanced use cases for Kubernetes, such as using it as a platform for building and deploying serverless applications. And we're working with several companies to implement Kubernetes-based platforms for building and deploying serverless applications using tools like Knative and OpenVAS, and integrating these platforms with existing DevOps tools and pipelines such as Jenkins and GitLab CI/CD. Additionally, we're implementing custom monitoring and logging systems for these environments using tools like ELK and Splunk, and providing training and support for serverless application development best practices, such as implementing event-driven architecture and regularly updating and patching serverless components.
All right, as we wrap up this episode on enterprise Kubernetes, I'd like to highlight a few key takeaways. Firstly, implementing multi-tenancy in Kubernetes is crucial for large-scale deployments, and tools like Knative and OpenVAS can greatly simplify this process. Secondly, RBSE is essential for securing your cluster, and it's vital to have a deep understanding of how to configure and manage roles and bindings. Lastly, cluster hardening is an ongoing process that requires continuous monitoring and maintenance to ensure the security and integrity of your environment.
I agree with Daniel on those points, and I'd like to add a few more. For me, one key takeaway is the importance of integrating Kubernetes with existing DevOps tools and pipelines. This can help streamline the development and deployment process and reduce the learning curve for developers. Another key point is the need for custom monitoring and logging systems, as out-of-the-box solutions often don't provide the level of granularity and visibility required for large-scale deployments. Lastly, I think it's crucial to prioritize training and support for serverless application development best practices, as this can greatly impact the overall security and performance of your serverless application development environment.
I see your point on the DevOps integration, but I still think RBAS and cluster hardening are the most critical aspects of enterprise Kubernetes. If you don't have a solid foundation in security, all the DevOps integration in the world won't save you from a major breach.
I understand where you're coming from, Daniel, but I think you're underestimating the importance of developer buy-in and adoption. If your developers aren't comfortable using Kubernetes and serverless technologies, you'll never achieve the level of scale and efficiency you're aiming for. It's a balance between security and usability, and I think we need to prioritize both equally.
Well, I think we'll have to agree to disagree on that point. Thanks for the lively discussion, Diana, and thanks to our listeners for tuning in. If you'd like to learn more about enterprise Kubernetes and serverless application development, check out our show notes for this episode, which include links to additional resources and further reading.
Absolutely. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast for more in-depth discussions on cloud computing, DevOps, and IT infrastructure. Until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you in the cloud.
Sounds good to me. See you in the next episode.